Hey, welcome back to a Game Informer podcast extra. I'm your host, Ben Reeves. Today, I'm joined by Alex Stadnick.
Hello, friends.
Hey, Alex, how's it going? I also got Joe Juba.
Yeah, hi.
How's it going?
Good.
And Jeff Court.
Hello.
Hello. We're all here because we just sat down and watched the Xbox Showcase, their classic showcase where they showed off all the best shows. What did you guys think? Any high-level thoughts?
About the shows they showed?
You all seem starstruck and just blown away.
Again.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I could begin at the beginning, I guess.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's go before the beginning, even.
Well, why not? Yeah, they did a pre-show. Mm-hmm. Jeff Keighley, he had his like summer games extravaganza, blowhard. Hey, let's talk about games. And they went for an hour longer than they needed to be. But there was a few little things in there. They announced Dragon Quest XI S, which is coming out December 4th. I know people like that game. Yeah. So that's cool. That's a cool announcement.
And that's coming out on Xbox and PS4.
PC.
And PC also. Yeah, but I mean, PC, like, it's not just Microsoft, is what I'm saying.
Oh, so
you mean to tell me that they're misrepresenting what platforms things are available on?
That's always the trick with these kinds of shows, isn't it? Where they say things like coming to Xbox and Xbox One, but if they don't say exclusively, then you kind of assume that maybe it's coming to something else.
First on.
Or when they say like being developed with PlayStation 5 in mind.
Because that stuff won't work otherwise.
We definitely had it in mind as one of the consoles we wanted to release this on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they announced that, which is cool. And then they went on, they announced Echo Mecha, which is a free-to-play shooter game. It looks like it had a bunch of like giant robots and like people flying around on surfboards, and I don't know, could be fun, who knows. They also showed off a new trailer for Watch Dogs Legion. Where does that S go?
We'll never know.
October 29th. Yeah,
we don't know where that S went, but we know where the F was, a big F bomb at the beginning.
Yeah,
very not, provocative,
not safe
in
for
your
work
face. Yeah, yeah, it reminded me of that monkey who was cursing up a storm in Beyond Good and Evil trailer a few years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Ubisoft, I think they get paid by the F-bomb. little secret, yeah.
Ubi hard. Language. So they also showed off Echo Generation. Just keep it rolling, man. Which actually, Echo Generation is the one.
This is an extra, okay?
This is off the rails.
You come here for extra stuff, you get a lot of extra.
That's true.
It's lower Echo Generation.
They're deleted scenes for a reason.
Pre-deleted scenes.
We're all loopy because we just like watched the stream and we've been on for like 2 hours and woke up early. I woke up at 8 o'clock. That's very early for me. but hey, there's game news here, guys.
Yeah.
Echo Generation, which I think was the coolest looking game of the pre-stream. So the stuff that Jeff Keighley was showing off. Echo Generation is kind of this turn-based voxel style art, had kind of a Stranger Things vibe going on with it. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That looked cool.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool. Well, yeah, I want to see more of this game. So it's coming to Xbox and PC next year.
Yeah.
Then they showed off Hello Neighbor 2, which I know has some fans, but I don't think anybody of Hunt Game Informer is one of them. But that trailer kind of looked cool. I want to give it another shot, but they'll need to earn my trust on that one. So that's coming next year as well. And then to close out the show, they showed off Balan Wonderworld. They got the original creators of the Sonic the Hedgehog and Nights into Dreams that came back and created this game, which I guess is some kind of platformer. What did you guys think of this game?
I was weirdly excited for this game.
Really?
I totally don't understand because I'm not a particular fan of Sonic. I don't really like Kingdom Hearts that much. And it seems to like draw from all of those wells a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. Just something about, maybe it's because I'm a theater nerd and it's got a sort of theater. Theatrical theme thing going on to it, but yeah, I don't know. I thought
theater nerd is kind of redundant, don't you think?
Well, so
you can just say theater.
Okay, I'm a theater, but like there were also elements with all those costumes going on there that reminded me of Jeff. I know you're also a fan of the old Kid Chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of that vibe of like, hey, you find something to wear and it gives you some like crazy abilities that you use to navigate and fight and all that. I am weirdly excited for that.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of a fop. So I think that art style spoke to you, right?
Yeah.
A lot of top hats and frilly sleeves.
Is that something
gloves.
I need to bleep? I don't know what that means.
No, it's fine. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's
okay. Oddly less slurry than you might think.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It does feel dirty coming out of your mouth, though.
Yeah, that's why I just had to check. Yeah. Just
imagine a guy wearing like a cravat and a monocle or something, and that's
just yelling bully, having his watch on a chain. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hello, Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically Balan underwear world in a nutshell. Crazy, weird platformer fop. But it's coming out next spring, 2021.
There you go.
So you know.
Yeah.
And then the show actually started. So hour in. Yeah. And then things got a little interesting because they kicked it off with a bang. Halo Infinite, which I know, Alex, you were losing your mind. I was there watching it happen. Yeah. What did you guys think of Halo?
I want to hear Alex say it first.
Yeah, I really want to hear Alex.
Yeah. I, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was at probably like an 8, 8.5. I loved what I saw from the combat. I thought it felt like there was a bit more of a blend between maybe a little bit of the slower pace from the original trilogy, but also looking like it felt contemporary, which I think 4 and 5, I think people would argue maybe went a little too far, depending on what you like from those games. But it confirmed what we were speculating, that this would be, they're calling it open. I don't know if they're calling it full open world. I got the vibe it was open in the sense of maybe like, kind of how God of War was, where it gave you like a play area and then you could
wide linear is the term that Sony uses for that stuff, right?
So I think what they're doing with the story is exciting. I did get a little bit more context after IGN talked to a bunch of the creative heads of 343, and it's set 2 years, because Ben and I weren't sure, you know, we were like, you know, we were looking at the start date and we were wondering where things were like took place. And it takes place 2 years after Halo 5. Halo 5 took place in 2558. This place takes place in 2560. And
you know what that
which
means,
the other
Joe,
point
right?
there is.
What does that mean, Jeff?
I was hoping you'd fill in with the answer.
Oh, I thought, man, that's
a rich we'll time it. Of history.
We'll cut it.
Yeah.
Well, the other interesting point there, Alex, is it's set 2 years after 5, which we weren't quite sure when we were watching the stream.
Yeah.
But it's set 2 years after 5, and it has this subhead. It's like, we lost.
Yeah.
And we're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So apparently they lost the war with. I don't want to give spoilers away, but what was happening in Halo 5?
Yeah, at the end of, like you said, at the end of 5, which reading their interview, I went back to being a little anxious because they said it's very much wrapping up the Forerunner saga, as they're calling 4 and 5. But they made sure to really assert that this is forward-looking, this is going to tell new stories, and is actually becoming a platform, which is something we had discussed over the last couple of years. But like they said in the interview, it said 10-year plan for Halo Infinite. So like everything new story wise is going to fall under Halo Infinite, which is interesting. I think Bungie had a similar plan with Destiny, and you know, we're in the midst of that right now. So I hope they nail it. Fingers crossed.
I think that could be really smart though. Coming from someone who isn't a particular fan of Halo, it does seem to me that like with each successive new installment of Halo, they have trouble generating the level of hype that the previous one had, right? So I think on some level, if you stop banking on that, like, it's the new one, and instead like cultivate a community that can keep coming back to it, I think that that's probably a smart move.
For sure.
Because this looked like, let's be honest, like you look at that gameplay footage and it has evolved like very little mechanically, at least from what we saw from like the very first Halo game, which if you're a fan of that like core of Halo, that's amazing. It's a wonderful time to be alive and I'm happy for you. But like for those of us who are like see, again, to repeat what I said earlier, is like a foundational moment in games. It just seems like we're just banging that same drum over and over again. So I think that the belabored way to get it to the point, I think Halo Infinite, a game as service, is great because it's not like there are any leaps, barely incremental improvements from one to the next. I mean, there's a campaign, but either the multiplayer, they may add a few things, but it's not a game that's like, oh, the engine is really vastly improved and they really rethought how Halo, you know, Master Chief's gun shoots this time or whatever.
For
I
sure.
Don't know. My kid was watching it. He just said, this looks like Skylanders with guns. So the younger generation is smart and they're like not into Halo.
Wow.
Wow.
Good luck, guys.
That's aggressive.
What a brutal takedown. And he probably didn't even mean it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I high fived.
But there is the grappling hook. Like the grappling hook. The grappling hook looks cool.
Yes.
Like, and I like how they incorporated that into combat, and you can also like use it to like traverse the world. So
yeah,
I mean,
Bulletstorm is
that
great.
Could be, yeah. They just need a jetpack now, some wings.
Well,
a glider. Yeah.
It could be like because they talked about in the afterword too how we're just getting a taste of the new equipment system. They really want to focus in on it, a la Halo 3, which I'm excited about. I talked about how I very much disliked armor abilities in Reach and whatnot, so I like that they're going to a more classic system for that. If they can fill this world, I color me excited. And I think one of the things we talked about in the pre-stream or whenever, that's such a blur at this point that I'm it's all blending together, but one of the reasons Halo 5 struggled was because it took a note kind of from Spider-Man movies where it filled this game with everyone, with like, you know, people from Chief's past, from, you know, some of the other games with Buck, and it just, you couldn't get a feel for any of them. So if this is a platform and if they're wrapping up some of the Forerunner saga, this could be a place to actually dive into those characters and tell interesting stories with them and not just focus on Chief, which I'm excited for. Something like ODST could live in this world, which I think is really cool.
I think that's what they need to do ultimately, because I think the fans are absolutely enthusiastic about it, but then you have the rest of us who, again, like the pre-show I think was really indicative. I'm sure Jeff Keighley was like, oh boy, I should have done some more stringent screening here, but he kept like trying to build some hype for Halo, like, what are you excited about, what do you think? Almost uniformly everyone was just like, yeah, I played Halo when it came out, it was a lot of fun in college or whatever, like when I was a little baby. But and then I don't like it anymore, or I just moved on. That just seemed like the prevailing sentiment. So it's kind of like the people that are already won over to Halo, that's great. But you need to get the rest of us back on board with it. And again, I don't know that just saying like, here's Master Chief again, here's the Warthog again, look at it do a jump. It's like, I've done that so many times by now.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same impression. Yeah. That surprised me too.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Supposedly it's coming out this year.
Yeah.
2020.
If the Xbox is coming out this year. They keep playing this damn game of chicken.
A lot of dates.
Yeah.
We had no dates for almost anything, which is disappointing.
Halo's got to be a launch title, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got.
They have not backed down from that message.
We don't have a date for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
moving on from Halo, they showed off a trailer of a deer eating a wolf, which I thought was really cool looking. And then it was stated K3 was announced. Which,
it's true.
That trailer looked more polished than anything State of Decay has ever done, I think.
You're absolutely wrong. Yeah. Yeah, there was that moment, like, when they first saw the person by the campfire, I was like, I think this is a new State of Decay. There's just something about, like, person's armed with a crossbow and hears spooky sounds, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to, like, cross-reference what IP they have and they want to lead the show with. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is a zombie deer that is State of Decay. But again, it was like, this is not what the game's going to look like. Let's all be honest. Like,
man. And I feel like, and Jeff and I talked a lot about the original State of Decay when it came out, because that was, I think, one of those games that, I reviewed it and it poorly. Even though so much conceptual about that idea of the zombie apocalypse simulation that I just really wanted to work, and it was just so unpolished that it was really hard to see through the fog to the good game that it could have been.
Yeah.
And then when State of Decay 2 came out, Undead Labs is the developer, is that right? Yeah. So Undead Labs, Microsoft are making all these promises of like, we heard you, everyone. We know that technically we had some issues, but we're building, like, I was so excited for the second one. And then the reviews started hitting and it was consensus was basically like, ooh, at launch, this is even worse than the first one on those levels.
It was especially frustrating because, like, the first one kind of came out of nowhere and it was like, oh, this has got some really cool ideas. I enjoy it in spite of all the jank. Mm-hmm. And it sold a ton. Like, it did very well. So then for it to release in the state it was in, it was like, this is inexcusable. Like, I'd like, you're driving a car and suddenly it would just rocket you into the side of a mountain for no reason at all. Or like, you go to open a door and like a zombie like walks down an invisible staircase before your very eyes through the ground. Like, stuff was just broken and it affected gameplay in really significant ways. Like, you, because permadeath is such a big part of it, you lose a character really unfairly because like a zombie is like chewing on your face while you're in the backseat of a car that's being driven. You're just like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I will say I did revisit it a few months ago and it has made like some significant strides. I mean, it's stable, which congratulations, you've reached the bare minimum, but I mean, it's still like at its core, I think is a really, really fun game, but a lot of the technical issues I think that kept me from being super enthusiastic about it at launch are gone. So,
yeah. So for me, I think Microsoft and Undead Labs is in that position where like I feel like I'm not going to get fooled by getting too excited about this one. Like, I'm not going to get as excited for this as I did for State of Decay 2 because of what happened there. At this point, it's like that game needs to come out. I need to like read, like I need to hear from people that I trust that this is not a broken mess.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for some fun stuff to do this weekend, read the patch notes for State of Decay 2, just go through them, spend some time, because it's hilarious. The things that they're like calling out as being fixed, you're like, wow, it's amazing that it was like that.
Amazing that it was in the game to begin with. Yeah.
Yikes.
So there's no release date for this, unfortunately, but maybe that means they'll just take their time.
I hope make
it a working game before it comes out.
Yeah, I hope there's not a whole lot to go through. PC. Yeah. I'm hoping that we do see seasons or something like that, because I mean, they did show like a nice wintry scene. That'd be cool if that was an element of the game, and also like more solo survival stuff would be super fun.
Well,
and undead animals too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's all I need.
We can maybe figure something out about the release date. I guess I don't want to make any like definitive claims here, but there was that section of the showcase where sort of the dividing line where they said, after this point, everything we're showing you is Series X/PC exclusive, which means it's not coming to Xbox One. Which then, if you think, what's his name? Not Phil
Spencer.
Spencer, yeah. Mm-hmm. Phil Spencer said, like, and I think other people at Xbox too, saying for the first couple years, there are not, like, everything's going to be cross-platform, cross-generation. Mm-hmm. So that means that if something is Xbox Series X exclusive, it's probably 2022 at the earliest, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because if it were before that, it would be coming to both Xbox One and Series X.
Right. That's just for first party releases, right. Correct?
Correct. So
third parties are free to do whatever they want on the hardware.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting thought. I guess we'll hopefully hear more soon. So yeah, then continuing on with the showcase, something to do with cars. They had cars on the stage. There's Forza Motorsport. There's a new Forza coming. Yay. Be excited. Then they showed off Everwild from Rare, which is a just stunning looking game. I say what you will, I know Sea of Thieves maybe didn't capture me gameplay wise, but I think it was a cool looking game, has a unique art style. I think Rare makes good looking games. They choose a unique art style that really works for their games, and I'm really excited for Everwild, even though I don't know anything about the game, because I don't know how that game plays, but it looks good.
Yeah. I think Everwild was a good, if you want to look at this press conference in a microcosm, I think Everwild's a good point, because it's like, oh, that looked good. It's exciting in principle, but like, I want to know more about these games. Not even just like, I mean, I want release dates for all of them, but like, I want to know like how some of these are going to play. What is it going to look like? And I thought this was a good opportunity for that, but apparently it's just not time. So, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Couple other quick hits, just like news wise, there was this game Tell Me Why, which is from the studio that did
it's Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. I was blanking on it for a second.
Don't Nod.
That's coming August 27th, the first entry in that series.
I hope that voice acting was like placeholder. It was, that was rough.
Yeah, you didn't like that?
It actually worked for
today, wasn't she?
Very awkward delivery, which I empathize with that.
I didn't notice that. The thing that stuck out to me the most was, like, I remembered when it said episode one coming in August, I was like, oh, that's right. They're still doing this episodic garbage. I really thought we'd moved beyond that episodic structure at this point.
Yeah.
You don't need it. Just bring your game out. It's worth it. So then we moved on. Ori, Will, and the Wisp. They had the Moon Studios guys came on and they announced that it's, just like Alex's hoodie. The Moon Studios guys came on. They said, it's coming to Xbox One X. We're doing an extra special version that's going to run 120 frames per second. And smart delivery. So if you already own it, you'll get it on the new system, which is great.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was happy about. I actually still haven't played that one yet. And now I'm like, oh, if it comes out at a reasonable time, if the system does, then I can actually get through that before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's in competition for my game of the year. I really liked it.
It's so
then we moved on. Outer Worlds announced some DLC. Obsidian came on. They announced a bunch of things. So Outer Worlds DLC, Peril on Gorgon, comes out September 9th. They actually announced a season pass. There's going to be a second set of DLC coming out that you can buy as a package, or you can just buy this one. They showed off Grounded again briefly. That's coming July 28th to Early Access, which I know, Jeff Cork, you're a big fan. Yeah. You did the cover story, so there's plenty of stuff online you can check out there. And then finally, they showed off Avowed, which is their new IP, which I thought, I mean, it looks a lot like Oblivion, but I think that's great. And I don't know, were you guys impressed?
Yeah. I loved, Jeff had a funny joke in our Slack channel where he was just like, well, Obsidian ate Fallout's lunch with Outer Worlds, and now they're going back for an Elder Scrolls dessert.
Yep.
Which, you know, is, which on some level does a disservice, I think, to the, I think Obsidian isn't just aping something else, right? I think that they do a good, they do a good job creating their own world. So it's not to say they're straight up copycats. But I think the sentiment that I really like there is just the idea of, like, there is an appetite for the kinds of games that Bethesda has become especially known for. Like, there is a bigger appetite for that than Bethesda alone can satisfy. And I like that there is another studio that is competent. I mean, more than competently, that is excellently filling that gap also.
In many ways, do get better than Bethesda.
Right now?
Hot take.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can totally argue against that either.
No, right now, recently, 100%.
So we didn't get to see a ton of Avowed, but I was tickled pink, let's say. I was really excited by the way that looked.
Yeah. The they shoot an arrow, right? These arrows are going through the sky, a very long shot. An arrow hits a skeleton. He's wearing armor right in the chest, and he shatters. That's like the worst weapon to use against a skeleton, isn't it? A bow?
That's how powerful that arrow was.
Well, it worked.
Yeah?
I mean, it worked, but that was just a lucky shot, right?
Mm.
I mean, yeah. What are the odds that you shoot a bow at a skeleton or shoot an arrow, and it just, like, goes whoop, like, right through the rib cage and doesn't even hit him?
That's a good point.
Magic arrows confirmed.
Yeah. What's the best weapon?
I'm skeptical.
Hammer.
Big hammer. Yeah, absolutely. No cudgel. Question.
Yeah.
Giant mallet. Yeah. Bone crusher.
Exactly. Just think of them as like zombies, but less of them. And you're on the right track.
Maybe you could just use a nutcracker even. Just snap their bones in half.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a little more time, that works.
Yeah.
Dude, use what you got.
You really want to savor it, I suppose. Weirdo Marquis de Sade.
Skeleton. Your days are numbered.
Just you and me.
They don't have nerve endings, so they don't feel pain, but...
Yeah, how else are you going to torture a skeleton?
If you really like that crunching sound.
Just one last thing before we move on. It must be difficult for art directors to make skeletons look angry, because you have to manipulate their physiology in a way that if you put skin back on it, it would be a deformed person, like in a really weird way. I don't know.
Just constantly doing this. Just constantly doing that, like, pot, hands on tips.
Like, yeah, but their eyes are always like really angry, you know, and their faces are like in this mean grin. And it's like that. I don't know. Skeleton is pretty much a blank slate if you think about it. Whatever.
Maybe they're not moving so scary on in real
life. Yeah, they're not scary.
All right. So then they showed off As Dusk Falls from Into Night, which looked a lot like this motion comic in my mind. This is from the Quantic Dream developer, like their lead developer left Quantic Dream, formed a new studio.
Yes.
And I don't know, it looked all right. It's kind of this story game is what it looked like. So yeah. We'll see.
Set in the American Southwest over 3 decades. Like these two families get thrown into a situation with a hostage kind of scenario. And then we see how it affects them.
Oh, the American Southwest, like that one chapter everyone loved in Beyond Two Souls.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So expect a yellow filter over everything and lots of turquoise jewelry.
Hopefully this developer learned a lot of good things about adventure games and nothing about storytelling from Quantic Dream.
Hey,
I'm not a huge fan of Quantic Dream storytelling, but
not all of them. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, Ninja Theory showed off a little bit more Hellblade. They announced that they're doing sort of recap stuff on their website. So if you want to go and watch how they journeyed to Iceland, I guess they took photos of Iceland and they took a travel log there when they were researching the new game. There wasn't a lot there, but game still looks pretty.
I do think it's because the last one, where was the first one set?
I
don't remember.
Somewhere in Scandinavia,
I guess that's what I think is funny is when they treat it as like, okay, now we're happy to reveal that our new game is set in Iceland. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you cannot expect typical North American gamer, me included, to like, I don't know the difference between different Scandinavian countries. I don't know what differentiates one from the other. That's my own ignorance. That's my own problem. Yeah. I realize this, but
yeah.
You know,
it wasn't a huge announcement.
It was a weird, like, we are happy to announce moment, I think.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it as much as you can. I thought that Hellblade was a great game, really struck me. But if you could have told me, like, and we're going back to Iceland for the sequel, I'd be like, cool, I can't wait to go back to Iceland. I had a good time the first time. It was a really memorable location. And then I would have looked like quite the fool on stage. But
but
it was a spooky place with monsters.
Yeah. But I'm still like, that's another one where I was like, I would have bet a lot of money that we would have seen gameplay just because we'd already seen, like, they'd already had the hype trailer at the Game Awards. I thought this was a slam dunk to finally get something. I even thought it could be a launch title, but it seems like it is not anywhere close to that, which
no, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys fans of Jack Black? Mark, you seem to be a fan of his beard.
Yep, that's what I want.
You mean Eddie Riggs?
Eddie Riggs, that's
Eddie
right.
Riggs.
Eddie Riggs is going to be in Psychonauts 2. They showed off a little bit more of Psychonauts, which I think looks a little bit cleaner than the last time we saw it. I think it was like 1 or 2 years ago that we saw it last. Mm-hmm. And the game definitely had an indie vibe because it was Double Fine, but now Double Fine's owned by Microsoft, so they have some Microsoft money, and I think the game's coming along. Looks good. Jack Black's in it now. That was the announcement. It's coming out next year.
Well, actually, we knew he was in it before.
Oh, did we?
I did not. Yeah,
that wasn't even an announcement?
Yeah, no, that wasn't the it wasn't an announcement. The announcement was, I think, I mean, maybe it was specifically what part he's playing, but yeah, we knew he would be involved with it before, and I think it was just like, hey, here's a Jack Black singing a song over a trailer for Psychonauts.
Yeah,
it was really just an opportunity for him to show off his vocal cords.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that game.
Yeah, me too. But they sneakily delayed it because up until then they had said 2020, and now they're pushing it to 2021.
Did they confirm that it's 2021? I didn't see that.
I will pull it up, but yeah,
it's 2021. Oh. So not a launch date title. Yeah.
So they did they say that during the stream, or was that in like some like press release or something? Because I don't think that was in the trailer.
I'm pulling it up right now. We can keep going. But I
okay. But
Joe,
yeah.
Since it's 2021, you'll have plenty of time to play Destiny because it's coming to Game Pass this September. All the DLC. You guys aren't really Destiny guys, are you?
I played through Destiny 2. I sort of wanted to see what the deal with that style of game is before jumping into Anthem. So I played Destiny 2 and had a good time, but
then what happened, Joe?
I'm not the kind of player like Matt Miller who is just like can keep returning to it again and again and again. Mm. So I just sort of fell off. But
Well, speaking of returning, Stalker 2 is returning, everybody. They announced they actually announced Stalker 2 back in like 2018. And when they announced it, they said the release date was 2021, which seemed like crazy far off and like a weird thing to announce at the time. But now we're actually getting close. And they showed off the new trailer, but they didn't say anything about a release date. So we'll see what happens.
I remember anything about Stalker is it was notoriously on time and an undelayed game. So I'm sure that at 21, you know, get that tattooed on yourself. They'll hit that.
It's kind of a survival horror shooter, if you're unfamiliar. The guys who did the first game, I believe, went on to do Metro. So there's a little bit of a bleed over between the two.
Yeah.
I know there's quite a fan base there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. J.V. Gwaltney was a fan. He wrote up a big thing on the history of the series. So you can check that out on GameInformer.com.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
Then they showed off Warhammer. You got an update for us, Alex?
Yeah, I just want to circle back to Psychonauts. It's according to the official YouTube page. If you go to the Brain in the Jar trailer, it says Psychonauts 2 releases in 2021 on Xbox Game Pass, Windows PC, Mac, Linux, PS4, and optimized for Series X. So
great. Still coming to PS4, which is nice.
Yeah. And Linux, man, I was sweating on that one.
Yeah.
So
Warhammer 40K Dark Tide. It's some 4-player co-op experience, which is coming out next year. They didn't show a whole lot of it, but the trailer looked like a trailer.
Yes, it did.
It had some moving people in it. I don't think any of us are huge fans, but if it's another Left 4 Dead style game, I might give it a shot.
Yeah, someone in the chat pointed out that it's the same group that did the Vermintide games, which is very much, to boil it down, it's Left 4 Dead in the Warhammer universe. 4-player co-op, you know, taking on different waves of enemies and whatnot. So if they can translate that to this, I'd be interested. I'm a huge Left 4 Dead fan, so.
Sure.
There you go.
Another quick just recap of things. Tetris Effect Connected, which is some kind of expansion for Tetris, the previous Tetris Effect game, which was a cool game, but this one adds multiplayer to it, so you can play 3-player somehow. That's coming out later this year, supposedly for Xbox systems, exclusively for Xbox, and then later on next year it'll come to the other platforms.
Do we know if Dan Reichert's exclusive to Xbox now, or how can we share him?
He must be. He was on the trailer, which is kind of weird. Did you guys notice that?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You didn't notice that Dan was in there?
No.
I must have been like writing up a story or something when that trailer was playing. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
He worked his way in there.
Yeah.
SteamWorld guys are back. They're creating a game called The Gunk, and I really like the SteamWorld guys. They have a cool aesthetic with just their SteamWorld characters, little robot characters, but this one, definitely a different direction. You're a 3D in a 3D world. You have a human like character, and you're sucking up things with some kind of vacuum device. We don't know much more about it. Comes out next year. Bloober Team announced The Medium.
Well, they announced it before. They showed a new trailer.
Yeah, they showed off a new trailer, which I know, Quirk, you were kind of into this one, right?
Yeah, I like the, you know, like two realities. This lady can tap into both of them being a medium. There's like the normal one and then like a really spooky one with monsters. And you go between them. They're like rendered simultaneously. It's kind of the big gimmick. And you use the analog stick to switch between them. And then like, hey, the staircase is broken here, but not over there. That kind of a thing.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Because for me, Bloober Team is sort of hit and miss. Like the series that I think really took off for them, Layers of Fear, is one that I have not enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But then again, you look at it, they also did that game with
Observer.
Yeah, Observer.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, that one seems to be much better received. So yeah.
They did Blair Witch last year, which is I enjoyed as well.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those like Bloober Team is not like. Seeing their name on something is intriguing, but it's not one of those. That's sort of a like, I need to wait and see a little bit on that one.
Yeah. Every time I type that in, I have to triple check because it never looks right. Mm-hmm. It seems like
their
it
name?
Seems like a typo. Uber? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It does not look good. And plus, it's a weird name. It's like a weird kind of funny word, mm-hmm. but they're a horror developer. So it just like feels like a weird fit.
Yeah. It's like Babadook.
Yep, for sure. Cool. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, actually, because they showed off Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis, which I was trying to read up more about this game, and there was some confusion online whether or not it's a totally new game or a remake of Phantasy Star Online 2. Either way, it comes out next year. But, I was a fan of the original Phantasy Star, but after that, I dipped out. It's not a series that's held any interest for me since, but I know it has quite a following overseas. This is Xbox time to shine, I guess.
That's what they keep saying. I don't know. I have not seen any proof of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Almost second to last, Remedy showed off Crossfire X's campaign, their single player campaign. Mm-hmm. And a weird note that Alex picked up on is the game Crossfire X is going to be on Game Pass, but not the single player campaign. That's separate, apparently.
That was weird. Yeah. I don't know why.
That whole game is weird too, because Remedy is just developing that campaign. It's an existing FPS shooter series, right?
Yeah. It's an existing shooter.
Right.
Crossfire X is coming over. It hasn't really had much of a market in the States, so it's coming over here with the campaign, and we'll see if it takes off.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. It could be one of the big shooters of the year. Maybe. I am interested to see what Remedy does with the single player campaign, because I like Remedy games, and I think they shine when they do weird stuff, and I don't get the impression that this is going in that direction. So I'm curious to see how what they do with something that's a little bit more traditional military shooter.
Yeah. I mean, so much of what defines their work is stuff that is, you know, that they can sort of take ownership over, right? Like the sort of weird universes they create.
Mm-hmm.
So to say just like, hey, here's the universe, make a story in that, is a little surprising for them to me.
Yeah, for sure. Brian Shea has a big write-up on the site. He got to check it out a little bit more in depth. And so if you want an in-depth impressions, there's a written stuff on the site. And then finally, the end of the show. What did they end the show with, guys?
Hey, can I just say for 1 second? I love when for events they do one more thing. And here's me too. And maybe it's just me being a fan of Columbo, but there's also that. I mean, like, I feel like in recent years, companies have shied away from doing that because they're like, oh, people are just expecting it, or we don't want to set one thing above everything else. But man, I just love it when after that montage of like, well, today you've seen this and this and this, and then that, and like, I'm already kind of like, oh, getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the, here's one more thing. And it's always something good.
Yeah. It's an encore.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, so this time.
And this year was good.
It was good. They announced Fable. Woo!
Let's go.
Fable.
What did you guys think of that Fable? It was a short trailer, and there's not much there. It's like a little fairy like creature flying around, and then she got ate by a toad. But.
Yeah.
That was it.
Playground Games. Yeah. That was the trailer. Playground Games. Those rumors had been out there. Those were confirmed. So it was good to get that confirmed.
The other thing about that's interesting. So all this trailer confirmed was that it's Playground Games. That's the studio behind Forza Horizon. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. Oh, and it's called Fable.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a reboot. It's not Fable 4 or whatever. But what I think is interesting about some of this is that, this is one of those that is coming exclusively to Series X. So probably not a 2021 game. The other thing that I thought was interesting about it is that because all of the rumors, everything we've seen so far confirmed rumors that have been out there for a little while, right?
Right.
Right.
So now I kind of wonder, I want to go and reread all of those old rumors about what it is. Because if this much of it is held true so far, I wonder, because like there was some crazy stuff about it involving like planetary travel, like interplanetary travel or time travel or something. I don't remember what it was, but there was like it seemed like conceptually it was going to be much more ambitious and surprising than some previous Fable games. Yeah. So
sure.
I want to go check that stuff out again.
Yeah, overall, I was excited. I think my excitement was undercut a little bit by just the fact that it was all but a known quantity at this point. This is basically just confirmation of everything we already knew, which is nice that they're officially acknowledging it.
Yeah.
I think one other thing is I kind of hoping the art style would be a little more exaggerated. It looked fairly realistic, and you know, they have time to show me more of the game and make me fall in love with it. But I think I kind of wanted it to look like Everwild, you know, something like that. It was a little more
fantasy
vibe. Yeah,
man, I don't know. I guess for me, Fable's always sort of been defined not necessarily by like, as long as it has evokes a kind of storybook setting, I think that's what it is for me. But it's not, I don't know that it's necessarily a more like cartoony sort of visual style or something like that. I don't know. I liked the way it looked. That looked like Fable to me.
Yeah, I didn't hate the way it looked. I don't want to come across as too negative. I think my expectations were just in a different place. And like I said, I want to see more of the game. I'm not going to pass judgment yet.
Yeah. It was good to just rip that Band-Aid off, acknowledge it, and you know, and now we can look forward to, you know, whenever that's coming, which I agree with Joe. I think the Playground, the story broke that Playground was hiring people like maybe 2 years ago. It's been relatively recent. So like, yeah, we still have a while for that, but it's now we can hone in on where Perfect Dark is and obsess over that. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was hoping for that still, yeah. Thoughts on the show overall, guys? Any final lingering impressions?
I don't know. I came away feeling pretty good about it. I think that for the kind of, the games that I care specifically about, there were enough of them that I come out of that excited. The things that I don't particularly care about are still things that the people who do are clearly excited about them. So it all sort of seems, if nothing else, it seems like a step up. They set correct expectations this time compared to their last big show where everyone came out just sort of going
yeah,
and this time, you know, they come in saying, hey, you're gonna get a look at a bunch of games, and I
think this was a better show than their last one too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I as I talked about at the start of this, you know, I would have liked the whole frustration, my frustration, a lot of people's with this cycle is, these all are cool. These all are great. PlayStation is in the same boat. It's like, this is all great. When the hell are we playing it? When are these consoles dropping? And I hate that this game of chickens is still happening. Like,
what degree, like for you, honestly,
yeah.
how much of a problem is that? Like, whether or not do you care if it's, you know, November 1st versus November 20th? Or
fair.
October 1st versus yeah. November, you know, like
yeah.
That's you.
I will
you
in November.
You set aside. Well, yeah, but I mean, you set aside a little. Like, I think it's got to be somewhere in that October November window, right? So you just said it's somewhere in those 2 months.
That's fair. But it's just so abstract still. You know, I like having more concrete details.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that it kind of goes hand in hand. I think the price is important to know.
That yes. is also a bigger deal to me, I think. Yeah.
It's less, when do I need to squirrel away this money, and more, how big of a pile is this going to be?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, for sure. And sorry, I didn't mean to come off like that this was a bad show. Like, it's because it wasn't. Like, yeah. as I said, they showed me enough of Halo to keep me on the excitement train. I need to see multiplayer. That's the next big step, is what is that going to look like? Because that's where I'm going to spend most of my time. But
it'll look like that, what you just saw, but you'll see another Master Chief of a different color
on the other side shooting at you.
Yeah. Well, now I have it. Now I know. Yeah. Good to know. I still, even though my prediction was off, I still think a Halo BR is coming. Especially with this as a platform now. Warzone is a platform, Fortnite is a platform. I think BR slides into that totally, really great. I saw some people lamenting the graphics. Was I blown away? No, but I don't need that. I don't need to be like, I don't need my photo mode like in Ghost of Tsushima for that. What I saw from the combat has me intrigued. I like where the story could potentially go, and I'm ready to go. Just tell me the launch date. So I think that, and then bookending it with Fable was the perfect way to end it. So
yeah. Yep. I was really hoping that maybe Fable would be further along and they'd just like blow us out of the water and be like, it's coming soon this year, even like that would have been awesome. But
oh man.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's exciting that a new Fable is coming, but let's be realistic. It was only slightly better than like Bethesda showing logos for games that they had nothing else to show. I mean, like a cute animated sequence with a voiceover that in no way reflects any gameplay at all. It's a nice tone piece where you're like, oh, they're still British,
Yeah, but like, it's funny you bring that up though, because I had that same feeling after the little like toad sequence where it's just like, oh, Castle on the Hill for Fable. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was like, oh, this is like the Elder Scrolls 6 reveal, where it's like, it evokes the exact same thing, where it's just like camera pulling off over a sort of vast area with a, you know, medieval style villagey thing. Yeah. Ta-da!
Yeah,
please be excited. Which I am excited.
Me too.
But yeah. I want more.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to be excited about something specific though, too. Like just the name. I've been fooled too many times, and I'm starting to fall into my grown-upness where like, I don't want to just be a sap who can be strung along with a single word. You know what I mean? Mm. You should earn my enthusiasm a little bit. Just saying Fable, I'm not going to have a Pavlovian response to it. So maybe slow your roll, Juba. I don't know.
All right.
Trying to start the drama here.
Back to State of Decay 3 and how you're excited for that?
Yeah, that's three words.
At least you saw something that you could relate to gameplay. You could be like, undead deer, that's interesting. Not like, that rich fairy eating mechanic. When I play as a frog, I'm going to be gobbling up fairies.
What if that's it? What if that's just the new Fable?
I mean, this is the series where one of your food items is a live chick that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you more evil.
Yeah.
What if that deer had popped up at the end and then eaten the frog?
That would have been cool.
That would have been real good. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
All right. Well, with that, thanks for watching, everybody. Yeah, we can't go anywhere after that. Yeah. All our ideas are spent. But yeah, thanks for being on, guys. I had fun. I had fun watching the show. I hope you did too. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode of the Game Informer Show. We'll be back next week with a normal episode at the normal time. So thanks for watching and game on.
That stuck, huh?
Can't get rid of it.